Acts chapter 6. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And this statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the Lord of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom of the Spirit which he was speaking. And they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. And they put forward false witnesses who said, "This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. Amen. Okay. And so chapter 6 starts off with the attack from within, right? And so we have a situation here. We had Hellenistic Jews, which were basically non-Palestinians, but they were Jews, right? And they spoke Greek. So it would be like some of you guys that are like Chinese Americans, you know, or Korean Americans or Korean Aussies, or, you know, it's all this, you know, hybrids that we have at church, right? And so amongst all that, it's like there's, you know, between that group, you know, kind of like we consider like the second generation, and then the first generation, these were the Jews. And so they had a custom where they served meals. And what was happening was the Hellenistic Jews, right, the ones that spoke Greek, were not getting treated at all, right? They were being mistreated. They were not being served food, basically. And only the Greeks, right, the first generation, they were getting served food. You know, and so in this, think about this, in this beautiful, pristine, almost perfect church, now we have a real situation that arises. You know, and then this kind of situation will be very common, right? People will get offended, you know, people will feel unjustly treated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they won't feel special, right? And so these guys rise up, and the apostles very wisely knew exactly what the devil was doing, right? The book of Acts is a real blueprint in understanding demonic assignment or demonic deception or demonic, you know, schemes. Notice that the enemy tries to do two things through this. This is his twofold attack. One, he tries to break the unity of the church, right? Remember, that's why Ananias and Sapphira, that's why they died, right? Primarily trying to disrupt the purity and the unity of the church, right? And so that was the first thing, right? So they tried to disrupt the unity. The second part, right, is the enemy try to divert, right, the call of the apostles, okay? Right, so the enemy try to come and, you know, just kind of make the apostles busy, divert their calling so they won't walk in the fullness of what God has for them. And, you know, and then other things, you'll see these blueprints go in, but this is really very, you know, I mean, really good for us to really dig into, right? You know, try to break the unity of the church, and then, you know, try to divert the calling of the apostles. The calling of the apostles was the study of the word, right, to preach, you know, and to pray. That was their ultimate call, you know. And so if the apostles start, you know, inundating themselves with all these situations and all these things that are going on, you know, I mean, sure, it's good. It's good leadership, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not the call of the apostle, right? You know, the call of the apostle is to teach, to train, to pray. You know, the call of the pastor is to teach, to train, to pray, to study God's word. You know, if I get myself involved in all these other things, right, I get diverted from the call. That's why, you know, at our church, you know, you guys do everything. You know, and that's purely by design, right? Because, you know, I mean, because I read the book of Acts, right? I understand what these guys are trying to do. And things. So what they so what these guys are so smart, right? They call seven guys, right? They gather these guys, they call seven guys together, and every single one of the seven that they choose, do you recognize their names there? Not one Jewish name amongst the group, right? These guys are really smart, man. I mean, you know, these guys, like, you know, says really stupid things through the Gospels, and then all of a sudden they get into the book of Acts, and they're like superheroes, right? They get into Acts, and they are so full of wisdom. They pick seven guys, and they're all Hellenistic Jews. They're all Greek speakers, and even one of them is actually, Nicholas is actually a proselyte. He's actually a Gentile converted to Judaism, right? And so, you know, just so wise, because, you know, the uproar that's happening is with, you know, like the people that feel slighted are the Hellenistic Jews. So what do the apostles do? They raise up seven Hellenistic Jews, right, to take care of these things. So they know that, you know, basically it's their own. You know, and so, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, this actually speaks to me a lot, you know, in just even our staff. You know, I mean, we, you know, we've been doing our roster this last, last few days, you know, and we are roughly at about, 35%, right? So I was pretty right on, 35% Korean, you know, and the rest, you know, everything else, right? You know, mostly Chinese, but our staff, right, is, you know, well, it's changing now, but it's basically 75% Korean and 25% Chinese, right? And so, you know, that's not a very good ratio. You know, it should reflect the congregation. That's kind of a personal thing. Now, you guys probably don't know this yet, but starting February 1, Ken Chen is joining our staff, and so he's going to be on the pastoral staff. He's not a pastor, so you can treat him differently. just kidding, right? So, but he's joining our staff. He's going to be our admin, IT, tech, everything guy, and things. So, welcome, Ken. February 1, he's still working at Phillips, and so these guys get all the Greek speakers. They throw them in there, and then at verse 6, they brought before the apostles, right? And after praying, they laid hands on them, right? And so they, in other words, they made sure that this was God, right? It wasn't they just, you know, they made a decision, okay, oh, these guys, oh, yeah, you guys all have a good reputation. You have, you know, okay, sure, boom, you're in. No, they spent a season praying, and then after they prayed, you got to read the text very carefully. After they prayed, then they laid hands on them, right, and said, okay, you know, you guys are the one. You know, it's really important. That's why, you know, one of the most important tasks or jobs, you know, that leaders will have, you know, pastoral staff or whatnot, is selection of leadership. You know, I mean, this is important. It's not, okay, you look good enough. You're a good guy. You know, yeah, you're full of wisdom. You're this. Okay, sure, go out. You know, no. It's always, right, God always signs off. In fact, he doesn't sign off. He initiates, right? He's in the whole process. It's so important, this aspect of choosing leaders, you know, and I want you to, you know, rest assured at this church, we take this very, very seriously, you know, and I mean, very seriously, you know, and we pray tons, you know, about, you know, house church leaders, about leaders in different ministries, you know, and this is, you know, we know this is a major thing, right, that you don't just pick good people, right, it's got to be through a season of prayer, right, and then, you know, the laying on of hands. In other words, the commissioning, you know, for service comes. And so they lay hands, and then in verse 7, you know, they get to, verse 7 is what they call a summary statement. You'll see these all written through all out. And they said, the word of God kept spreading, the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And so this is a summary statement of what's, so far this is what's going on. Numbers are increasing, disciples are being formed, and even priests are converting, right, to Christianity. And so you'll notice that after a summary statement, Luke will go back into, you know, and think about it, and he'll do this. Like just before, right, he picked the man at the gate beautiful. He picked one miracle that depicts all the miracles, and now he takes one disciple that will that will give us a glimpse of the type of disciples the apostles are producing. And so, right, summary statement, and then particularization. And then now, next thing you know, Stephen comes on the scene. And so the rest is about Stephen. We'll really get into Stephen in chapter 7. I mean, chapter 7 will blow you away about what Luke is trying to do. But we'll just touch upon Stephen in the beginning, right? Full of grace and power, right? And then he was also performing signs and wonders, right? So one guy gets, you know, and Stephen becomes the first martyr. Now, so they choose seven, and these are the deacons, right? A deacon, literally translated, is a table washer, right? You know, a guy that sets the tables, a guy that cleans up the tables, you know. It could be, you know, like in our modern day, busboy, basically, right? You know, this was the literal definition of a deacon. You know, someone that serves, you know, diakonia, right? Someone that serves, it's a ministry in the church, and this person that serves, you know, and even though, you know, like our church, we don't have titles, we don't say, oh, you know, Deacon Leanne or Deaconess Leanne, you know, you know what I mean, you know, Elder Tom, right? Even though I guess Tom would be considered an elder, you know, even though, yeah, it sounds kind of weird, but, you know, we don't use those titles, but that's pretty much functionally, that's really what's going on, right? And a deacon, a minister, which is where you get the word minister from, right, is a servant. You know, it's just someone that just washes tables. And I think that's a really good word picture for us, you know, when we think about, you know, serving at church. Because, see, I mean, you know, I think we've been spared a bit, you know, but sometimes a lot more traditional churches, the titles carry a lot of weight. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, like in the Korean church context, right? Oh, you know, I'm a jipsa name, you know, which is like a deacon, or I'm a changmun name, which is an elder, you know, and it's there's a really lofty, you know, position in churches like that, but, you know, that's not the case, right? The dude's a table washer, you know, and that's who we are, you know. I mean, all the way from pastor all the way down, right? We may have functional roles, but I think if we, you know, as we serve at church and whatnot, you know, I think if we keep that heart, right, that, yeah, you know, I'm serving tables, right? You know, I'm you know, and you could draw the illusion, you know, or the illustration even more. It says, I'm preparing a table for other people, right? As I serve, you know, as I serve on the worship team, I am preparing the table that other people may come and feast. You know, as I serve on the welcoming committee, I'm serving the table so newcomers can come and they can feast. You know, whatever ministry, right? PowerPoint and, you know, and I'll say PowerPoint is the most brutal ministry of our church, right? You know, I mean, that one, that's, you know, because they get all the evil eyes, right? As soon as the thing's not there, everyone's looking back, and who's behind the PowerPoint, right? I know, I stopped looking back. I think it in my mind, and I just said, no, I'm not going to look back because I'm going to bless whoever's back there, you know, and stuff. But, you know, even something like that, right? It's like you're preparing the table so people can worship and feast. You know, and if we, you know, as servants, right, if we had that attitude, man, we'd have an awesome church. I mean, plain and simple, right? We would have an awesome church. It wouldn't be about what I got out of the service, you know, or you know, what do I get out of doing this? What can I accomplish? You know, nothing like that, right? It's like, can I put this on my college application? You know, none of that stuff, right? Even though you guys are way past that. You know, it's simply, God, I just want to prepare the table that others may come and feast. That's serving at church, you know. And if you are serving in church, and if that's not your attitude, right, two things. Either pray and repent and ask God to change your heart, or number two, quit, right, and do something else, right, or, you know, I don't know what. I mean, just really plain and simple, right? Because it's got to be that attitude, you know. And if you walk in that attitude, right, God lifts you up. Here's Stephen, and I'm going to really expand on this tomorrow, right? I'll just give you a little bonus today. Stephen starts off washing tables. Next thing you know, he's operating in signs and wonders, right? It's elevation. That's what God does. Be faithful in a little thing, and I will entrust you with much. right? I mean, that's right. I mean, he's washing tables, just a regular Joe, washing tables. Next thing you know, he's doing signs and wonders. And then on top of that, right, he's full of wisdom against detractors. And on top of that, he becomes like an angelic being. That's amazing, right? But it starts off by having that heart of just simply, right, washing the tables. You know, I mean, amazing. What I want to focus on for our, in our prayer time today is the second aspect of the attack, right? You know, the unity, right? We talked on unity and whatnot. And, you know, and I want to say, you know, as pastor, thank you for joining with us. You know, what you're doing by waking up in the morning, you know, obviously it's a blessing for you, but you are joining into the unity of the church. I'm not saying that if you're not coming out, you know, you're not united, don't read anything into it. You know, but your actions and joining in this fast, because we're united, right? Common, you know, like experience creates common ground. You know, and so as we come together, we're building unity. And God operates out of unity. You know, He blesses out of, He releases power when there's unity. You know, so that part, and but also the other part, the demonic assignment, right, is to divert the calling, right? You know, and so, just think about your day. Think about, you know, could the enemy be diverting your calling, right? Because he'll do this all the time. You know, you'll be working on something, or even in the church, you know, or the real easy one is going on the mission trip, right? Is on the mission field, because you have it's a very short time, you have a set assignment, and you're busy, you know, you're working for a goal and whatnot, and then the enemy will always bring something up. You know what I mean? It'll be some stupid little thing. But it'll become magnified on the mission field, right? What's the purpose? To divert your calling, you know? And so, you know, just kind of, you know, as we pray today, just think about that. You know, is there something going on in my life, Lord, where my calling is being diverted? You know, maybe it's in the area of relationships, right? You just think about relationships so much that you can't focus on anything else of the things of God. You know, or maybe you're in a relationship and it's totally diverted your calling. Right? You know what I mean? I mean, it's just stuff like this. You know, maybe your job is diverting your calling. I don't know what your calling is. You know, hopefully your job is your calling. You know? But maybe that's diverting your calling. And so let's close our eyes, and as we pray, let's really think about that. This is kind of, we're getting a little deeper today. Right? The demonic assignment was to break the unity and to divert our call. As we come under alignment before the Lord, say, am I diverted in my call? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Now let's ask Him. Let's pray together. There needs any
needs to be any reconciliation or whatnot, pray for those matters. If some of your family members are not saved, pray for the word of salvation to go forth. Pray for the health of your parents and your other family members, brothers and sisters. Let's pray for their work, their livelihoods as well, that God will really bless and prosper their businesses, or their jobs, or their careers and whatnot. So let's just lift up our families before the Lord right now. Let's pray for our worship team. Let's pray for anointing as they lead us and set the table for the church. Let's pray for real servant's heart. Let's pray for a lifestyle of worship, right? That it wouldn't just be performance on some, but it would flow out of their overflow of their time with God and their own lifestyle of worship. Let's pray for, of course, musical skill as well. And let's lift up especially our four leaders, Pastor Nate and Boyoung and Chris and Nathan, right, as they lead our worship teams. Let's just cover all of our worship team members, our worship leaders. Let's pray for them. Let's go to our house church focus. Let's pray for our Seymour Road House Church. Let's pray for Charles and Tom as they lead. Pray for all the members of the house church. Pray for the ministry. Pray for a solid community and real spiritual growth to happen over at Seymour Road. Let's pray for them. Let's go to our member prayer focus. Let's pray for our brother Ben. Let's pray for salvation of his mom and dad, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. The Lord would forgive their sins and cause them to repent and confess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Pray for healing for his parents' health. For Ben, pray for healing of his autism, Asperger's syndrome, and that he would have a deep relationship with God. And pray that God also can give him a job and a career in the near future. Let's just cover Ben. Let's pray for Brother Will. Let's pray that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that he'd move in the power of the Holy Spirit to move in prophetic evangelism in his workplace. I pray that he'd be drawn into a more intimate love relationship with Jesus and thereby live a life of holiness and purity. Pray for salvation of his sister Jenny and his friends Daniel, Claude, and T. Pray for opportunities to witness to them by being a living example. And pray for guidance on a new family business and patience to wait until God moves. And for a real breakthrough in their family finances. Also pray for patience and trust in God in the area of relationship. Well, let's just cover Will. Let's pray for our sister Tanya. Let's pray for God that will provide a better job offer and a financial security between her career break. I pray that she'd have the courage and determination for the business venture, that make sure that's what God desires her to do. And as she's on her break, to be a good daughter and be able to cope with life back in Taiwan, and also be able to focus on what she wants to accomplish in life, or more importantly, what God wants to do in her life. So let's just pray for Tanya. Lord, we just thank you, God, for being so gracious to us today, God, for waking us up, for bringing us to the house of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to walk with us this day. Lord, help us to really begin to see, God, demonic assignments and deception, God, that's been coming our way, that wants to divert us, God, from our call, Lord, that wants us to be sidetracked, Lord, in the full purposes of God. Lord, I pray that each of us, God, we walk in the full purposes of the Lord this day. Lord, we bind our will to your will this day, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.